always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
And welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams, located here in beautiful East Texas. And joining me from the Dallas and Fort Worth area, my good friend and co-host who wanders away a lot, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How you doing, Terry?
I'm doing pretty good, and I love that introduction because what it does is it sets me free.
There you go. Yeah, Terry's been in entertainment for years, and a lot of the stuff that he talks to me about, I don't understand it at all. And probably 50% of it, I say, no, that ain't right. And 50% I say, okay, maybe that is right. And 0% of it do I say, I totally understand. So anyway, that's where we are on that. Anyway, let me show you what we want to get into today as far as the major topics go. And that is, of course, China and the United States. Believe it or not, we are finally about to end this COVID travel restriction thing, but is that a good thing or a bad thing at this point? We're also going to talk about prophetic implications regarding world banking and the financial system. If you have not figured it out yet, we have some issues going on in our banking system right now today, and I don't see it getting better. We have tensions that are continuing around the world, and I just kind of buried all of them together, Terry, because there's so many in so many different places.
Sure.
And
sure.
Then we also have, and really, I guess I should have included this one as part number three, but I was putting this together early in the day, and things are changing now, as I kind of warned people that they would. They're changing almost by the minute now. So anyway, we are going to discuss the nuclear power submarine deal in Australia. That is another problem. And we got a bunch more stuff to talk about, as a matter of fact. And usually I don't do this, but I'm going to start off today with a story that really, it didn't make my top four list. Okay. And what this is a person in Arizona. Now she is on the school board. Now I want you here in just a second. I'm going to put this picture up on the screen for those of you that get this in visual form. And by the way, anybody that wants to ever see one of these newscasts in visual form, all you got to do is go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net, and you can get the entire show, both halves of our show. But let me put this lady's picture up on the screen real quick. I want you to look at this. This is a school board member. Okay, keep that in mind now. This isn't some little girl playing around or something, okay? This is how this lady actually dresses every day. She wants to be acknowledged as somebody that you can respect. She wants you to take her seriously, yet she wants to wear her little cat ears. Okay, now I'm sorry, and you know, if this offends anybody, I'm sorry, this is my personal opinion, but I cannot respect a lady this old in this type of a position that wants to walk around in little cat ears. That doesn't bring me any kind of confidence in her ability to do anything. And this lady is over kids. This is a school board member. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so this lady says, and she makes no secret of this. This is exactly what she said. Her name is Tamelia Valenzuela. And she said that the district should reject hiring teachers with Christian values, that they are not safe. Now, that is an actual statement by this lady. What do you think about that, Mr. Farley?
Well, she ain't got no room to say that, does she? I mean, take a look at her. She's not safe. What about her? She's got this thing hanging out of her nose. I don't know what that's supposed to be. Well, it looks like snot until you look real close.
Well, you know, I'm not so worried about these piercings and tattoos and all that. That seems to be the popular thing now. And anyway, people are free to express themselves however they want to. She can even wear her cat ears. I don't care. But I'm not going to respect her, and I'm sure not going to vote for her as somebody on the school board, especially with when she says stuff like this. My concerns, when I go to Arizona Christian University's website, they are committed to Jesus Christ, accomplishing His will and advancements on earth as in heaven. Wow. She's against that. She's against that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, it goes on. She goes on. Parts of their values is to transform the culture with truth by promoting the biblically informed values that are foundational to Western civilization, including the centrality of family, traditional sexual morality, and lifelong marriage between one man and one woman. She's against that too.
Sure she is.
Well, I mean, this is her quote. I'm reading her stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Then it says, I want to know how bringing teachers from an institution that is ingrained in their values so directly brings impact to three of your board members who are part of the LGBT community. And I want to know why the LBG community is of any concern to someone who disagrees with them.
Yeah.
Any comment?
Yeah. The lady is certainly misinformed.
Yeah.
If she knew Jesus, she would be happier than she's ever been in her life. And not only for this life, but for eternity.
Right.
And
I got one more quote.
She's thinking about.
I got one more quote to finish this off. Again, this is the same lady. At some point, we need to get real with ourselves and take a look at who we're making legal contracts with and the message that is sending to our community. Because that makes me feel like I could not be safe in this school district. Now, that is hiring Christian teachers who have traditional values. That makes her feel unsafe. Her words, not mine. And by the way, Fox News asked her for a comment. So far, her and the district have been silent. They are not responding to this because they know that this is outright discrimination. Any way you look at it, this is 100% discrimination. The lady should be fired immediately, and she should never be allowed around kids ever again. And I say that as a factual statement, not as an opinion, because discrimination goes both ways, like it or not.
Yep, it's a strange world we're living in, partner.
Well, okay, let's go back to what the Bible talks about, is good will be called bad, and bad will be called good. And I can think of no better example than what I just read. That's really a big part of it. Okay. Now, let's go ahead and talk a little bit now about China ending the COVID-19 restriction. This news report, again, I'm a member of the U.S. Press Association. I can play these press clips from everywhere in the world, and I sure do. And I invite, of course, they are invited to play ours as well. Here we go.
China is set to start. First time since easing its strict COVID-19 rules. Richard Kimber reports from Hong Kong.
From Wednesday, China will start reissuing all categories of visas to foreigners. It will also allow visa-free entry into the southern province of Guangdong for foreigners travelling from Hong Kong and Macau. The move is a significant moment in China's reopening and reintegration with the rest of the world, and marks an end to COVID-19 border control measures that have been in place in various forms for the past 3 years. Since abandoning its strict COVID measures, the government has switched focus to boosting economic growth, with an aim to hit a 5% target for GDP this year. Government data shows that 115 million inbound and outbound trips were made in 2022, less than a fifth of those in 2019 before the pandemic took hold. Richard Kimber in Hong Kong.
So China, as far as I know, they have not alleviated the situation there. Of course, now the reports coming out of China or whatever they want to tell us, that's what we hear. Unfortunately, that's kind of what's happening in the United States now. You know, we're almost to that.
That's right.
We're almost there too. But anyway, if you remember when the outbreak first began back in March of 2000, almost 3 years to the day, okay? President Trump was criticized because he wanted to close transportation from any avenue that could have brought the thing over here. It could have brought COVID over, you know?
Yeah.
Xenophobia is what was preached. Okay, as far as I know, the outbreak is continuing in China. We still don't know exactly what's going on with it, but now it's become such an economic crisis to the world that all of that kind of takes a back seat. You know, now it's all about finances. Anyway, here's what President Biden is considering. Let's listen to this.
The Biden administration is preparing to relax COVID-19 testing restrictions for travelers from China as soon as Friday, according to two people familiar with the decision.
The people, who were not authorized to comment publicly and spoke on the condition of anonymity, said the administration has decided to roll back the testing requirements as cases, hospitalizations, and deaths are declining in China, and the U.S. has gathered better information about the surge. Henry Benson reporting.
And where did they get this better information from? Because I sure haven't heard it.
Really?
Anyway, if President Trump did that, he would be vilified.
You better believe it.
But now, again, here's Biden, because he has such good relations with this country, because he loves China so much, because his son made so much money, he is going to do everything that he can to try and take any pressure off of China. Opinion on that, Terry, and what is yours?
Yeah, my opinion is the same. And he probably made a whole lot more than his son. That's a guess. That's not an opinion.
Right.
That's a guess.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he made more. But anyway.
Well, I don't know. You know, if either one of them made a penny and they didn't report it, then they're both guilty of a felony. If they didn't report it, I'm just saying, if they didn't report it, okay?
Yeah.
And as far as I know, President Biden has never said that he got any money from China. So if it is ever proven that he did, and I believe it will be proven that he did, then, you know, they want to put Trump in jail for all kinds of silly stuff. Well, let's put Biden in jail for something that really does matter, then it really is a felony and it really is on the books. That is my opinion. Okay.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
Yeah, that's my opinion. Okay, Terry, I hope you're ready, because in every show, I do give Terry a couple of minutes to kind of bring scripture into this newscast, because a big part of the reason that we're here, and as a matter of fact, the reason that we are here, is to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the world. So, Terry, you're up. It is time for 2 minutes with Terry.
Okay, welcome to The Last Christian Short. We're doing an armor upgrade, looking at Christian armor, part 3. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:10. First, we girded our loins with truth. Second, we are putting on the breastplate of righteousness, which shall guard our hearts against foreign invasion. Righteous is spiritual foreign invasion. Righteousness is simply the equity of fairness. Per Strong's, the character or act thereof. Interesting in this present day of the call for equity. In this instance, speaking specifically of Christian justification, righteousness. Jesus first speaks of righteousness in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yet here, Paul instructs to armor up, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Thus, one must ask, from whence does righteousness arise? Romans 5:17 divulges, righteousness is bestowed by God, as also is the gift of faith. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. See Romans 5:13-15. How great is that gift of righteousness we receive? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:20-21. When is that gift of righteousness bestowed? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with much confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
And I've got to stop you right there, okay?
Right there.
And we will be back in the second half of the show, and Terry will be able to finish this. This is all about the armor of God. And this is something that I asked Terry to do some research on a week or so ago. And really start to dig into it. And Terry, I appreciate the work that you're putting in on that, for sure. I think people will really enjoy that. I think that they are really beginning to enjoy that as well. I think it's time, though, Terry, to turn our attention back to what we intended to talk about today. And real briefly, I'll put it back up on screen here. We talked about China and the United States. Set to end these COVID travel restrictions. Again, I'm still not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm really not. I have not put together enough information yet to know whether that's good or bad. And maybe it's, you know, I'm hoping to spend some more time on that here pretty quick.
Sure.
The next thing that we do need to talk about, though, is the prophetic implications of world banking and financial system. And for those of you that are unaware of it, two banks have shuttered. The federal government has closed them. There was actually 30 banks that were closed. Now some of these banks have been reopened. You know, this is still fluid. There's still things going on. We're by no means are we out of the woods on this. But anyway, I'm gonna play these reports first, and then we'll talk about it in biblical terms. Okay, so let's look at how the world is viewing it, first of all.
Bank shares in Asia and Europe have taken a dive despite the U.S.'s insistence that its financial system is intact following the collapse of two U.S. lenders. This comes after authorities decided to intervene and protect customer deposits after Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank collapsed.
Okay. And then I've got a guy that I listen to him every day. He has a spotlight. And what he does is he picks a specific topic and just hits that one thing, doesn't talk about anything else. And in today's, it was all about this banking failure. So let's listen to this.
Time Simon Marks, looking in more detail today at the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. Governments around the world spent the weekend assessing the scale of the problem. The Biden administration insists it is not part of a wider panic that could impact other financial institutions. But it unveiled an emergency plan to shore up the ability of the bank's customers, many of them tech startups, to access their deposits. Adam Kobasi is editor-in-chief of the Kobasi Letter, an industry commentary on global capital markets.
It started really on Wednesday when fears arose that Silicon Valley Bank was facing some liquidity issues. And this was largely due to the fact that they took a lot of their deposits back when interest rates were lower and put them into longer-term bonds. Since interest rates have been rising, bond prices fall. And this led to a liquidity issue that started to circulate rather quickly. And a bank run basically began on Thursday and Friday. You know, going to your question of, is this 2008 or is this a different situation? The premise of this situation is a lot more based on human behavior and just panic than a collapse based on mortgages and widespread debt in retail's hands.
President Biden, in a statement on Sunday, insisted that anyone who created what he called this mess will be held accountable. Governments in Europe and as far away as India took emergency action to try and keep the bank's clients whole. Okay. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
So, Mr. Biden, are you going to hold yourself accountable? Because it is your administration's policies that created this mess, as you called it. Had you left things alone and continued the policies of Donald J. Trump, we wouldn't be in this mess. So if you really want to hold somebody accountable, then, Mr. President, I would suggest that you write your letter of resignation and please make sure that Ms. Harris does the same thing. And let's go ahead and get you guys out. And let's put somebody with a little bit of common sense and competency into the presidency until we can have an election in 2024. The Speaker of the House, of course, would assume the presidency. And I believe him to be much more competent than either President Biden or Cackles, our vice president. I'm sorry, I can't help but call her Cackles. That's my personal opinion. That's my personal call sign for her.
I think it's perfect. I think it's absolutely perfect.
All right. So
I only wish I would have thought of it first.
Anyway, as far as the biblical ramifications of this, if you look at what we are headed toward and what the Bible says will be a one world government, that means a one world currency. It's not very difficult to see how this plays out. If you go back 50, 60 years, you're not talking about credit cards. You're talking about cash money. You're talking about gold, silver. But now, you're not even talking about credit cards. Now you're talking about Bitcoin, whatever the heck that is. I don't know where what that bases its value on. Air? I don't know. Yeah. But it's ridiculous, I know that. If you think back to when COVID was in its highest reign, and I'm going to have an example here to give you guys an example of what I'm talking about. It was almost impossible to pay with cash anywhere you went. Store, people, if you couldn't pay with a credit card or a debit card, you were basically screwed because people were afraid to take money from you, fearing that COVID was on your money, right? We went to a pet store, and Anita saw a cat. She had to have this stupid cat, right? I mean, we got enough animals in this house. Anyway, she wanted this cat. And so we went to purchase the cat. Here's my credit card. I got my credit card ready to go. No, we don't take credit cards. We can't take it. You know, it's COVID restriction. Remember, this was a couple of years ago. This is in the height of it, right? So can't do that. So, you know, you're going to have to go and get they only accepted cash. I'm sorry. They only accepted cash. Anyway, you're going to have to go get cash. But if you go to the ATM, you can't touch the ATM, so you can't get cash out of it. So, you know, that's useless. Again, they wouldn't take a credit card. They would or wouldn't take a debit card. They would take a credit card. And not knowing we were going to buy a cat, I didn't have one. All right. So, anyway, we had to drive all over a town. And this wasn't this little city. This wasn't where I live. This wasn't this little town. This was, you know, a regular sized city. We had to drive around for quite a while to find an ATM machine that worked, that would actually give you cash money, because everybody was afraid of cash, was my point. Everybody was afraid to hold cash money in their hand, and the person that was selling the cat wanted cash. You know, they didn't accept credit cards. Pet store wasn't involved in it. Long convoluted story. I've messed that all up. But the point is that it's very easy for the government now to come in and say, you can't use cash. You're going to have to use a card, or you're going to have to use this stamp that's on your right hand or on your forehead to do any kind of transaction. Okay? And that's coming. The Bible says that's coming. Yes. Right, Terry?
The mark of the beast, and it's going to be during the tribulation. We're going to be gone, so we're not going to have to worry about it. But you will not be able to buy or sell without that mark.
Right.
And I don't care what kind of credit you have, what kind of anything. It doesn't matter.
Right. And, you know, I never understood how that was possible until COVID hit. I never understood that. And now it's so clear that anybody should be able to see it. The government can tell you exactly what and what you can't have and what you can and can't do. And here you got banks that are collapsing now. You know, they call it a panic. Well, yeah, people are going to be panicked. You know, I mean, each one of you out there, think about this for a second. I mean, these banks, they probably mean absolutely nothing to you. But let's say that this is your bank, and all of a sudden its doors are shuttered, and you can't get to your money, and the government tells you, well, we'll give you access to it through another means in a couple of days. Are you panicked or not? Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean,
you better believe it.
Most people, and I know I'm one of them, most people don't carry cash. I don't like to carry cash. I've got my debit card and I've got my credit cards, whatever, okay? I don't carry cash. There might be a $5 bill in my pocket and that's it. Well, that's not going to feed my family for a night. Now my bank won't let me have any money and my kids don't have anything to eat, or maybe my lights don't work anymore because I need to pay my light bill. Okay? I mean, come on. You know, yeah, there's panic.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Terry.
Well, to give you a picture on the times we're living in, long story short, I know of a guy down in San Antonio a number of years ago that was killed because he had a quarter in his pocket.
Yeah.
That was all. Yet the guy killed him for that quarter.
Yeah. So, I mean, people are desperate. Desperate or just mean, you know, one or the other.
Yeah.
All right. Now, again.
Who knows?
If you guys only get the first half of the show, again, please do go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. And you can get the whole thing there. We do appreciate all of the affiliates out there that do carry both segments. But we also appreciate those that only carry the first half. We really do. We just don't want any one of you to miss the whole thing if you're interested in getting the entire thing. But more than anything, we want you to realize that the rapture could happen at any time. So please, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do so. If you're watching us on YouTube and we're still up on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel, give us a like. And anyway, for everyone, we will be back with the second half of the show right after this break.
Attention podcasters, influencers, media personalities, content creators, and aspiring or existing radio personalities. KRRB Revelation Radio now offers the opportunity to broadcast or syndicate both new or existing shows to all 50 states and more than 160 countries around the world. And if you currently operate a radio station, we offer you the opportunity to add several popular shows in virtually every genre for broadcast on your station. Choose programming from 30 minutes to 2 hours, with each internationally syndicated show adding quality content sure to grow your listening audience. We even have excellent optional services to help you promote your show or station. These services are not only designed for audio use on the radio, but also include tools for use on social media, even YouTube. For more information, visit www.revelationradio.net or email the Ustreamit LLC Broadcast Network at office@ustreamit.net today.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Once again, my name is J.D. Williams, and joining me there in the Dallas and Fort Worth area, my good friend and co-host, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. And Terry, we didn't get into everything in the first half of the show, and I'm glad, because there's a whole lot there's a whole lot of stuff going on that we need to know about. I meant to mention in the first half, though, and didn't. There is some news that as we are producing the show right now, it is actually breaking news that a Russian jet collided with an American drone over the Black Sea. Now, what's important to realize here before we talk about this too much is this was in international waters. In other words, this is something that did not violate the United States airspace. It did not violate Russian airspace. This was in international waters. Both the drone and the fighter jet both landed. It seems like the drone went down in the Black Sea, but they were able to get it, and the Russian jet landed without any further incident there. The United States has summoned the Russian ambassador to talk about this, and I'm not really sure what they intend to do here. They say that the Russian pilot's behavior was unsafe and unprofessional, but I don't know. I don't know who to blame. I really don't know who to blame, and I don't know if it really matters. Because, again, this was in international waters, so both countries had an equal right to be there. Do you have any comment on this?
No. I'm just kind of curious as to how large was the drone. I mean, those jets, that's why they call them a jet, by the way, right, for anybody that's interested. But they go very, very fast,
Well,
and, you know, I don't know how big that drone was. Some of them can get pretty big. But.
I am not sure. I'm looking through that report right now to see if I can see anything that that says that. What I can tell you, and if you go to foxnews.com, it shows a picture of this drone, or at least, it's called an MQ-9 Reaper, R-E-A-P-E-R. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a picture of it. It's sitting in a hangar.
Yeah.
And it looks about the size of a small commuter airplane. I go back, I used to be in the airline. So the one thing that I could say, to me, this looks like a twin otter, about the size of a twin otter. So if anybody understands what the heck that is, that's about how big this is, which would mean that it would probably seat about 19 people. Okay, so this isn't a real small thing, but it's also not real, real big either.
One would think that if it was that large, it would have shown itself on the Russian pilot's radar.
Right.
But again, we don't have all the details.
Right. And it would seem like it would have shown up on the drone's radar too. I mean, that's what they're up there for.
That's right.
So, like I said, I don't know who's to blame for it. Right now tensions are high, and so just about anything is bad. I just thought I thought that I should mention that again, to go with the tensions that are going on around the world, and I'm going to start playing those for you right now. Let's look at Russia and the Ukraine, which of course is the big one that's been going on for over a year now. Let's listen to this.
Both Ukraine and Russia reported high casualties in Ukraine's Donbass region, the focus of Moscow's slow, long-running advance into its neighbor's territory.
Much of the fighting in the east has centered on Bakhmut, largely destroyed in months of attacks and shelling by Russia during the year-old conflict. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said Russian forces had suffered more than 1,100 dead in less than a week of fighting near the city. Harry Michaels reporting.
And, Zelensky might want to say how many Russians have been killed, but you don't hear him mentioning how many Ukrainians have been killed. And, that's information that people need to know. It really is. Mm-hmm. Because, as this continues, there's only so many Ukrainians and there's only so many Russians. The problem is there's a heck of a lot more Russians than there are Ukrainians. So if the Russians lost 1,000, out of their army of millions, and the Ukrainians lost 1,000 out of their army of thousands, then Russia wins, right?
Yeah. That's you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
It's a victory by attrition.
Yeah. We're not getting the full report on this. That's the problem.
No, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, we are committed to them. I always try to make this clear. My heart goes out to the Ukrainian citizens. It really does. But Russia's not going to quit. They're not.
Yeah.
They're just not going to quit. They're going to keep coming, and they're going to keep coming. And now they have signed a new deal with Iran to get jets. Mm-hmm. They're being supplied with drones. Iran says that it is a drone superpower. Okay, the Chinese are doing business with Russia, and that alliance is getting stronger by the day. North Korea is a good friend of Russia. They will do everything that they can. They're helping out Russia. The Ukraine's getting a lot of money and from us, from the United States, and from all over the world. They're being given equipment that's supposed to help them win. It's not going to make a difference. Russia's going to keep on coming. I promise you, they're going to just keep on coming. So, you know, I keep talking about this double front war, and I really believe, at some point, and this is opinion, but it is based on a lot of facts that I see from all over the world. At some point, there is going to be a moment where somebody claims, rightly or wrongly, that Russia just hit a NATO country. It's going to happen, in my opinion. That's my opinion. Yeah. And when that happens, what happens next? Do they follow what they're supposed to under NATO, and then we go to war against Russia? If so, that's a front. Okay. Personally, I don't think it'll happen. I don't think that they will immediately do it, but I think they'll go and protest to the United Nations, first of all. But it could happen, and that's a front. Okay, here's the other front. Listen to this one.
Ukraine ordered its troops to be ready to repel its rivals' frantic war preparation moves.
The test came a day before the U.S. and South Korean militaries begin large-scale joint military drills that North Korea views as a rehearsal for invasion. The official Korean Central News Agency said Monday that the missile launches were meant to confirm the reliability of the weapons system. Guy Davis reporting.
And what wasn't included in that, I guess I didn't have it set properly, was that these missiles were fired from submarines. This is North Korea firing missiles, which can include missiles with nuclear warheads, by the way. They're testing these missiles fired from submarines, and submarines are a lot harder to keep track of than something in the air or something that is launched from the ground. So I don't think that's a good thing at all. And again, this is like a second front if we were to actually respond to North Korea doing something. But there's even more than that, because we're also irritating the Chinese with submarines. Submarines seems to be the bullet point of the day. You know how we always have that one thing that you concentrate on? Well, today it seems to last. A couple of weeks ago it was balloons. Now it's submarines. Listen to this.
Yeah.
The US, UK, and Australia have announced a new plan to create a new fleet of nuclear-powered submarines. The goal is to counter China's sphere of influence in the Indo-Pacific. The so-called AUKUS pact involves Australia getting its first at least three nuclear-powered submarines from the US. President Joe Biden said the deal was aimed at promoting peace in the region, stressing the subs would be nuclear-powered, not nuclear armed. China's UN mission has accused Western allies of undermining nuclear non-proliferation efforts. Australia says it offered to brief China over its deal with the UK and the US to buy nuclear-powered submarines, but Defence Minister Richard Marles said Canberra isn't aware of any response from Beijing, Patrick Fock reports.
Australia's Defence Minister says the government made more than 60 calls over the last week to leaders, including the Pacific and Southeast Asia, to share details about the AUKUS pact. It's widely seen as a plan to counter China's ambitions in the Indo-Pacific, with a price tag of up to $245 billion over the next three decades. China has condemned the deal and called it an illegal act of nuclear proliferation. It comes amid a growing threat by Beijing towards self-ruled Taiwan and in the contested South China Sea. Patrick Falk, Hong Kong.
Okay, so again, it seems like we try to irritate China as much as we can. And yet, at the same time, they're not a threat. As far as Joe Biden is concerned, they're not a threat. They're, you know, everything's okay. But when a country tells you that if you keep doing something that they're going to retaliate, then you better start paying them some attention. And unfortunately, right now we have an administration that, in my opinion, is not paying them any attention at all for fear of losing a financial benefit for a son that is nothing more than a cocaine addict and a sex freak by the name of Hunter Biden.
Yeah, well, that's old news, but it's pertinent news. It's important for people to keep that in mind, that nothing's happening about that. As far as China, if Trump was in office, they'd be thinking of ways, or any other president, they would be thinking of ways to try to create problems. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. That's the way they operate. Yeah. And they're not looking simply to control America. They're looking to take over America.
Oh, yeah, without
to
a doubt.
To everybody,
without
you
a
know,
doubt.
You know, yeah. Even, to get their own radio people.
Yeah. Premier Khrushchev, Premier Khrushchev of Russia, the old Soviet Union way back in the 60s, he said that we would take over the United States from within. There wouldn't be a war. We'd take it over from within.
Yeah.
And that is beginning to come true. All right, before we get into the remainder of what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to give Terry 2 minutes here to go with 2 minutes with Terry. And then we're going to really get into the Middle East because we got a lot of information coming out of there. So, Terry, it is time for 2 minutes with Terry, part two. So you're up.
Okay. How great it is, that gift of righteousness we receive. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:20-21. When it is that gift of righteousness bestowed, for with the heart of man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If righteousness is a gift, why need we concern ourselves with a shield? Because we are in a spiritual battle and must be continually reminded of the ongoing battle, which is up close and personal. Jesus' provision of armor, including the shield of righteousness, covers us unto salvation. Jesus provides us with our defense. And how are we to defend ourselves? Through the faith, which Jesus also gives us, by which he indwells us, in order that, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. And folks, not incidentally, the day of Jesus Christ is the very selfsame day of our blessed hope, our rapture, our rapiamur. So we're wearing that armor, so we're fighting and winning the good fight until Jesus shouts. And next on our list of armor is shodding our feet with the gospel of peace. Let's look at that again momentarily. Shodding our feet, covering our feet with the gospel of peace. We can't lose sight that Jesus said, love your enemies. He said the world's going to know us by our love one for another, and that's what we've got to look for. And that's the short, folks.
Amen. Amen. Good one too, Chair. Okay, I'm going to put something up back up here on the screen just in. This again is breaking news. This is coming out of the nation of Israel. And the prime minister there, Benjamin Netanyahu, is obviously a little bit upset at President Biden. I'm going to just take a guess here in saying that, because this is the official word. No meetings with U.S. officials until the prime minister is invited to the White House. In other words, he's done. He's not gonna welcome in any U.S. official until President Biden says that you're able to come to the White House. Good for him. Okay? Good for him. Yeah. I think that is a very good thing. Okay, we're going to go ahead and start getting into a little bit of the news from around the world. There's an Ethiopian Cultural Center, Terry. It's in Lod. I hope I'm saying that right. L-O-D. That was torched. It is a mixed Jewish Arab city. It's been the flashpoint of nationalistic crime in the past. And it said that Israeli police have arrested two Arabs on suspicion that they set fire to the Bet Hay. I better just spell this out. Okay, it's spelled B-E-I-T, and the second word is H-A-G-A-D-Z-O. It's a cultural center for Ethiopian Jews located behind the pre-military training school in the Ramat Ishkal neighborhood of Lod. Said, we will not be silent, local residents responded and announced that they would be holding a demonstration. We'll gather at the site for evening prayer and raise a cry of protest. So this is Arabs, again, unprovoked, going into a Jewish area and causing destruction. And then also coming out of Israel, this comes from courtesy of the Israel National News. There were some reports that soldiers, Israeli soldiers, were not happy, and they had decided that they were not going to follow orders. Okay, now imagine that. Okay, imagine that for a second. Okay, political entities are exploiting the IDF, soloing the good name of reservists to create chaos, is what is how the article is listed. Very simply, it says reserve officers, including senior commanders, have joined over 1,600 reserve officers in signing a letter penned to the IDF Chief of Staff, Herzi Hazavi, condemning calls for refusal to report for duty or follow orders as an expression of opposition to the government's program for judicial reform. Quoting them here, it says, this is an extremely serious and abhorrent development on the part of these reservists, and one which is being promoted against the interests of the IDF by inflated and exaggerated media reports. An extremist minority is attempting to force its political positions upon others using illegitimate refusal to serve, which has no place in the Israeli Defense Forces. To you, the Chief of Staff, we say, we're here, we all condemn these refusals to obey orders with absolute disgust. And they conclude their letter by saying, we will all report for our reserve duty in order to protect the state of Israel against its enemies at any time with no preconditions under any government, whether from the left or the right. So that is just in from Israel. So malcontents are everywhere, Terry. We got malcontents here in the United States. Malcontents are everywhere, you know, and the smaller the group, the more noise they make.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, that's really what it is. Instead, I'm going to go back, and this is a very unpopular president that I'm going to mention. Okay? His name is Richard Milhouse Nixon. Okay? Very unpopular president. He resigned not because of something he did, but because of something he covered up. And he resigned, okay? We've got presidents since that have actually done things that didn't resign and nothing ever happened to them, okay?
That's right.
But anyway, he resigned because he covered something up. But he's unpopular now, but he was extremely popular when he made a comment that said that he stood for the great silent majority. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
The great silent majority, he said, would vote him in, and they did by a huge amount, okay?
Yeah.
What we need in 2024 is for that great silent majority to stand up yet again and say, enough is enough. Take all these crazy policies that all of these people have come up with in the last few years, take them with you and go away. That's what needs to happen, okay? And if you happen to be involved in one of those groups, more power to you. Enjoy yourself. I'm going to vote against you. Every time in every election, get over yourself. Just get over yourself, okay?
That's right.
All right, so Middle East update here. This is from the IFP News, and this is Iran's economy minister says that Iran and Iraq have reached good agreements on ways to remove the obstacles hindering economic cooperation between the two neighbors. In other words, he's, by the way, he says the 20% increase in trade between Iran and Iraq in the last 11 months and the movement of more than 7 million travelers and pilgrims are sign of the future developments and economic relations between the two countries. This is Ezekiel 38 again. I can't, Iran and Iraq coming back together after being bitter enemies for years and years and years. Russia loves Iran and Iraq. Russia is bringing them together. Turkey, a NATO member, is turning its back on NATO and moving close to Russia. The coalition called on in Ezekiel 38, and please, if you've got a Bible, look to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Read it carefully, because you are watching these events unfold before your very eyes. Wake up. It's time. Wake up. Terry, comment.
I couldn't help but think earlier when we were talking about this, Ezekiel 38. You know, I think God is showing us who's going to win this conflict, war, between the Ukraine and Russia, because he says, he doesn't even talk about the Ukraine.
Right.
He says he's gonna put a hook in the jaws of Russia and draw her down.
Right.
I mean, Ukraine's not even in the scenario.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So we already know what the end is from the beginning.
Right. Which is exactly how God said he wrote the Bible, right?
That's right.
Exactly that way. Also, another report out of Israel, Arabs living in Judea and Samaria have been destroying ancient ruins in the area for years, but now, according to Jews monitoring the situation, the destruction is being taken to a new level with archaeological remains wrecked and a road actually paved over them. The Samaria National Park in Sebastia has frequently been the target of nationalist vandals seeking to erase the site's Jewish history, which dates back millennia. Sebastia was once called Shamara, Samaria, and served as the capital city of the ancient kingdom of Israel. Many ancient remains can be seen there, including pillars dating back to the first temple period and a giant amphitheater from the days of King Herod in the Second Temple period. It is located just a few miles northwest of Nablus, however, making it relatively difficult for Israelis to access and easy for local Arabs to access. This week, members of the Shalom Al, I'm not even going to attempt it, organization, accompanied by local council members, were shocked to discover that heavy machinery had been moved in there and a road paved right in the heart of the archaeological site along a route extending from Area B a further 400 yards into Area C. I don't know A, B, and C areas there. It said anyone who loves Israel and who cares about cultural history must demand an immediate halt to the damage being done at the site. a military guard should be placed around the clock in order to protect this cultural site, which is being systematically and barbarically destroyed day by day by the terrorist entity that calls itself the Palestinian Authority. Any comments on that?
Oh, that's it makes me weep when I think, and it goes on throughout the Mideast. We've been getting reports for years of people mindlessly destroying these ancient artifacts. And you know, Joel, you can learn from anything, mm-hmm. but you cannot learn anything from nothing.
Right, and that's the point of what they're trying to do here. I read a lot more of this,
sure.
before I reported it, and what they're trying to do there is erase anything that has to do with Jewish history. In other words, yeah. like the Jews were never there. They're trying to say, okay, they were never there because you can't find anything here, can you? Well, the reason you can't find anything there is because they're doing it up, they're destroying it, and then they're building roads over it. So they're trying to cover things up. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I've got to throw this in. What do we think's happening in America? The
right.
destruction of statues mm-hmm. and historical monuments and so forth.
That's
it's
right.
the same exact thing.
Right.
The same exact idiocy and mindlessness.
I agree with that 100%. Again, you can't have an opinion unless you're allowed to have that opinion in America.
Yeah.
That's really where we are. That's really where we are.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. There is no such thing as a debate. There is no such thing as discussion. It is all our way or the highway. If you don't agree with us, we will cancel you. We will take your videos down. We will do whatever we can to silence you. Unfortunately, the one thing for them that they can't do, they can't silence the Word of God. And the Word of God
Amen.
Makes it clear that Russia will form that great coalition, they'll go against Israel, and that God himself will crush them on the mountains of Israel. If you
Amen.
Have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do. All you've got to do is say that one precious prayer and tell God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you for your forgiveness. I know Jesus Christ died for me. I know he rose from the grave after the third day. I know he's gone to heaven. I know he's coming back. I know God's going to unleash that wrath, but I also know that Jesus is going to call all the Christians, living and dead, into the air to be with him before that happens. I promise to follow you all the rest of the days of my life, and you just might be that last individual we're looking for, that last person to accept Christ before the rapture of the church. So, if the Lord gives us another day, we'll see you next time. If not, good night, and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here on Revelation Radio. And don't forget to join us every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central for the Last Christian Podcast. Now available on all major podcast platforms and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.